So social work is really a profession that's really focused on well-being and focusing on individuals, groups, families, if you are focused on a clinical micro perspective of helping people directly. They call it direct practice. If you are someone that wants to work with, we say in the macro level, then you're working with organizations, you're working with entities that are dealing with society. Usually, if I had to think about, for me, I was in a micro track, so more clinical counseling, doing clinical practice, or I'm working with people directly in some capacity, whether that's in a medical field or whether I'm in a political arena. Clinical practice is more so dealing with people directly. But then there's also macro, where you're dealing with more organizations and entities that are larger, dealing with society in that way, but not directly with people.
In today's episode, we have a special focus on a profession that profoundly impacts lives, the career of a licensed clinical social worker, or LCSW as they are known. Our guest, a seasoned LCSW, Shara Ruffin, provides an in-depth look at this vital field. We'll explore the varied roles LCSWs play, from directing clinical counseling to working with organizations at a macro level, influencing social policies. You'll learn what it takes to pursue this career as we discuss the different educational paths, the crucial steps for licensure, and how residency impacts this. Whether you're a parent guiding your college-bound teen or a student curious about social work, this episode offers valuable insights. We'll unravel the daily realities of LCSWs, the extensive scope of their work, and the personal qualities that contribute to success in the field. It's more than a career discussion. It's an opportunity to understand a role that shapes and nurtures our society. I'm Lisa Marker Robbins, and I want to welcome you to College and Career Clarity, a Flourish coaching production. Let's dive right in to a great conversation. Shara, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today for this career close-up.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a delight. Well, we don't always do these career close-ups, but we like to myth bust and educate people on fields that they're maybe thinking of or haven't even thought of, and they're trying to figure out college major and career alignment. So when we talk about licensed clinical social worker, which commonly they just say LCSW, right? Because it's a mouthful to say it all. What if you were to describe the job, the tasks, the duties, what somebody gets to do, what their purpose is in that field? Give us kind of an overview about the field, about the career.
So social work is really a profession that's really focused on well-being and focusing on individuals, groups, families, if you are focused on a clinical micro perspective of helping people directly. They call it direct practice. If you are someone that wants to work with, we say in the macro level, then you're working with organizations, you're working with entities that are dealing with society. Usually, if I had to think about, for me, I was in a micro track, so more clinical counseling, doing clinical practice, or I'm working with people directly in some capacity, whether that's in a medical field or whether I'm in a political arena. Clinical practice is more so dealing with people directly. But then there's also macro, where you're dealing with more organizations and entities that are larger, dealing with society in that way, but not directly with people. So social workers, that's the overall, they keep it very brief because when people hear social workers, they think of just child welfare. And we do so much more of that. You can find us in every facet of society, I think. And it's a job that I've loved since switching over to from psychology. So, and I know that's a story we'll get into.
Yeah, we will. Absolutely. I have a question on this micro macro. And you're right.
Yes.
I think people, when they think social work, they're like, oh, you're stepping in to help maybe a neglected or abused child or something like that. And, you know, I even know, I remember years ago, my dad's sister, she had a brain tumor. She had brain cancer and suddenly had to get outside of her home. And there were all the things to do. And like social workers were involved with that. We had to have her in a home. So age-wise, it runs the entire gamut from birth to end of life. I do think we all think about the micro, and I'll confess, like, I know the macro side, but my brain also, even as a career coach, defaults to that micro part and the therapy part even, and things like that. What type of organizations would somebody who is, you know, on the macro side, like, give me an example of an organization that they might work with?
So on the macro side, a lot of my friends I know have worked in politics. So if I was thinking more on a macro, they're usually working with more program planning or development. Organizations, it can vary. I know macro isn't my forte. I can give you the overall. They're either in policy development, advocacy, program planning, community organizers is why I think of politics, grassroots organizations. They're trying to implement social change through those entities, if that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And we need those people, legislative processes, things like that. I actually forgot to mention mezzo. Most people don't think of mezzo practice, which is kind of between, you're working with smaller communities, not necessarily in groups, rather than individuals as a whole. So you would find those people in neighborhoods, probably in schools, trying to think of other places. They're usually facilitating a lot of community or organizational change or works with groups of clients at a time. So
I'm
there's
thinking
also mental
of,
practice.
Tell me if this would qualify as that. I'm thinking like at the high school level, if they have a social worker at the high school, they might have a group of students who have a grief group or a divorce care group for families that are navigating that. Would that be right?
Yes.
Okay. So we really have a whole continuum for one-to-one, which is where a lot of people's minds go first, to small group, to large organizations. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. What else should we know about the job or the day-to-day? And I know your specialty, you were formerly a therapist working with clients one-on-one. And so that's really your expertise. Let's talk about, because I know you can't speak to really on the macro side, their day-to-day, but let's talk about the day-to-day of that, you know, the two other groups, or particularly the micro.
So micro was my concentration, bachelor level as well as my master's level. So I mostly wanted to become a therapist, which is why I switched from psychology, and I wanted to do it faster than going through the doctoral route. So, and I didn't want to do research, which is why I switched to social work from psychology. So for me, the day-to-day, most of my work has been 18 years, has been mostly directly in mental health, working in nonprofit or for-profit organizations or for hospitals. And my roles varied. I was doing discharge planning. I would be doing individual and group therapy, whether outpatient or inpatient, working with people as young as 18. The oldest person I've ever worked with was 96 years old.
Oh my gosh.
So the whole gamut. It ranged, as well as the geographical location, inner city as well as rural areas. I've done both.
Amazing. Let me ask you a question. When I think about that, you mentioned, you know, even working in hospitals, working, you know, to discharge patients, make sure they're set up for their needs, I would assume is that's part of it.
Yes.
What are other fields that licensed clinical social workers are coming into contact? Like, who are you collaborating with? Like, in
multidisciplinary
the hospital
teams.
Or even elsewise. Yeah, go ahead.
Psychiatrists, medical professionals, nurses, various types of, if you're in a hospital, you're going to probably run into a lot of different disciplines. For me and my personal experience in working with hospitals, I mostly worked with psychiatrists, nurses, recreation therapists, different types of counselors, as well as a psychologist. We worked as a team if we were on a treatment team seeing the same client in different capacities. So, which was very helpful for me to learn how to work with different disciplines, also learning a little bit about what they do and how that may impact my client that I saw.
So another thing, I'm thinking of like your varied work history, which is amazing. So it gives us all sorts of insights. If somebody were just starting out as an LCSW, do you like where should they look for, like, is it easier to start out in a hospital setting or in an organization, or is it better to do one-on-one practice? Like, where should you really like start to get the best start, or does it really depend?
Well, I also wanted to interject there as well before I get into that piece to say that you don't start out as an LCSW Well,
maybe that actually, maybe we should go back and talk about, because we want to talk about the path to get there, right? So you went to Lock Haven University, which is a Pennsylvania public university in the middle of the state, right? And you had three different college majors because you didn't necessarily have it figured out before you went. You said you started out thinking you would be an attorney, and then you tried your hand at psychology, and then switched to social work. So, okay, so let's talk about, so undergrad wise, if somebody decides, yes, I want to be an LCSW, do they have to have a social work degree?
It would be better to have a social worker. You don't necessarily have to have a bachelor's in social work. I've had a lot of friends have their bachelor's degree in something totally different and go for them. You do need a master's in social work to qualify for the licensure.
I have a question on that. So that's, well, that's good to know that like it's, so the field is open to a variety of undergraduate majors, and you said, it might give you an advantage or a leg up if you had your undergrad in social work. What is that advantage that you
The
are getting?
advantage would be is having direct knowledge of the field. The disconnect when you get to grad school, that some of my friends have experienced is that they're having to, especially when they get to the licensure, they're having to make that connection at a higher level, where a bachelor's in social work gives you the foundation and the understanding that you would need of the field. And it's slower paced. It's an introduction to the field, which why I when I've talked to people that are interested in social work, I said getting a bachelor of social work degree instead of a bachelor of psychology, or I've had people get another social science degree. It could getting a master's after that, you'll still do well, but you may have to lean more on the experience of your colleagues, or really getting a lot of experience from your internship or field placement to really get a grasp of the field. There's a disconnect sometimes when you have a background in a different major other than social work.
I mean, that's a perfect reason to say like figure it out before you go, so that you really like you're designing a course. When we design a course with a compass, with an end in mind, you're like you said, it's going to be easier. It's not impossible. The door's not closed to this field if you have a different undergrad. But we talk a lot about like what major should I have, and there are some fields like if you want to be a nurse, you got to get a major in nursing. I mean, there's no other way in, right? If you want to be a teacher, you have to have either a master's or an undergrad in education. So okay, so they get their bachelor's, and then there's a required master's degree. Is that a 2-year program, and what is the master's program like?
The master's program, there are three tracks you can take. So there's a 2-year full time, there's 3 years part time, and then there's advanced standing. Advanced standing is usually for people that have a bachelor's in social work, and instead of them having to do a full 2 years. They can do 1 year. Some programs are just three semesters. Howard University, where I went to get my master's, is only three semesters, 15 credits a semester, and that's it. So they really only took off one semester of coursework. Some schools, like University of Pennsylvania, their advanced standing is 1 full year, and okay. That's it. So you can cut corners. I know when I decided, I originally wanted to do 2 years because I was like, oh, I'm so scared to do that. It's going to be so much work, but I actually did pretty well with advanced standing.
Excellent. So you go into the master's program. Mm-hmm. So for you, the three semesters, is it all classroom semesters? Are you doing clinical hours as well?
So you're doing hours in your field placement that qualifies for your program. So depending on if you pick a two-year program, the first year is usually your foundational courses of social work, and then your second year is more geared towards your concentration. Depending on the school, they may have different concentrations at Howard. From what I remember, this was a decade ago. So for me, I wasn't going to be in the macro track because I wanted to be a therapist. So I chose the mental health concentration. Howard has various concentrations. I'm sure it's changed over time.
Yeah.
But you get to pick a concentration based on your career path that you want to take within that program.
And then that'll depend on what your field experiences would look like.
Well, it'll really, in your personal statement that you write, they kind of get an idea, one, if you even fit with the ideology of the program or the direction of the program with their concentrations that you may pick. So for me, and what my experience was when I chose, I actually chose three schools. I chose University of Penn, Temple, and Howard. I got in all three, but financially, Howard was 30 grand. And at the time, Penn was, their master's was $60,000. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, my word.
So, a doctorate.
Yeah. So
that was 10 years ago. It's actually, it's more expensive now than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that people really need to think about. I mean,
yeah,
when we're working with individuals trying to chart their path, you know, some of the things I say is, first of all, only like 35-ish% of Americans hold a bachelor's degree. And it's like less than half of that have a master's degree. So the reality is, it is hard and it is a lot of work. And you really need to begin with the end in mind. Are you wired? Do you have the grit? Do you have the desire to go to school for longer?
Yes.
You know, that is something to think about. Like, this is, you've got to know you're going to school for 6 years ish.
Just about. Yeah. The other piece I want to add is something I would definitely want the listeners to know. I graduated my master's at 24 years old. So I went straight back. There was no waiting period. I had applied my last semester. I knew I was going back. And because the MSW is the terminal degree in social work, you don't need a doctor unless you're going into research or you want to be on administration, or you're going the academic route of being, you know, in academia. Some people go for the practice degree, which is, that's a whole nother situation, PhD in social work and social welfare, or a doctorate in clinical social work, which is a practice degree and it's not research focused. I knew that I'd probably go back for a doctorate eventually. One, I didn't want to spend as much money on a master's, but I also wanted to know if I could get into my dream school, which I did, but it was way too much money and I didn't want to be that much in debt.
We talk a lot about in here about, yes, like, be a wise consumer.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this is the career path, explore what are the costs. And obviously, yes, they vary greatly.
Very important.
That Ivy League education.
Also, what your lifestyle expensive. Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's you know, what's your lifestyle? I mean, a lot of my friends went back. They went back years later. For me, I'm like, oh my God, having children and going back, I couldn't imagine doing that now. You know, my kids are older now, 16, 13, and 9, but I could probably go back now. But Jesus, I can't imagine doing that with a baby. I've had college and even clients that I counseled that went back to school and they with a child. I was like, oh, Jesus, no, I can do it. There's a level of time management and prioritizing tasks. At 20-something years old, I was still in school mode, and I knew that if I took a break, I may not go back right away. And I knew that the MSW was going to be, I needed that degree to go further quickly. So I went ahead and just went straight through. It was done. And I'm glad I did, because years later, I have a lot of friends that went back later and it was harder.
I have a question about those friends. Like, not only, yeah. So if you're already like a mom and you have a house to take care of and kids and all the things, but the friends who didn't get their MSW to become an LCSW later, what job were they doing between undergrad and going back years later to get that MSW, because they weren't obviously doing therapy as an LCSW. So what were the common jobs that they held between bachelor's and master's?
It varied from what I remember. So it some of if they're at a bachelor level, you're limited in terms of what jobs are available to you, what you can do. And the field has changed so much now that at least now that you have to have a license even after that bachelor's degree to be qualified to call yourself a social worker to even get opportunities now. So now there's licensure requirements at every degree level as well, except for the doctorate. So at the bachelor level, a license in most states are now being required, not just the degree itself. So if you take away that license, then you're making minimum salary.
So we've got about 5 minutes left to go. We cannot miss licensure, right? Mm-hmm. So this is your expertise. This is, you're a superstar at this because you actually have a course where you prep people for the LCSW licensure exam, correct?
For all three.
For all exams. Oh, so, all
yep,
levels.
There are three different ones. Yep.
Okay.
So bachelor's, master's, and clinical. Yes, I do.
So let's start with, in this age of for college admissions, and you have a 16-year-old, so you're going to be going through this very soon, Mama.
Yes, she'll be 17 on Monday.
My gosh. So if you are a horrible test taker, right now, test optional in college admissions has been somewhat popular, but this is a field where you're going to have to take some tests to be able to and pass some tests to be able to do the job.
Yes, that is true. Unfortunately.
Let's talk about, so you finish your bachelor's, you're not going to go straight into a master's program, but in most states, you're going to have to take a licensure exam after your bachelor's to do any kind of social work.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit, do you take it right as you graduate? What does it usually take to do well?
You should take it right after. The further out you are from your degree program, life, kicks in and it gets harder to stay in that student mindset, especially with the exams are more knowledge-based. So it's important to take it as soon as you can, at least give yourself a couple of months. Most students are now thinking about it the semester before they graduate. That goes for the bachelor's and the master's.
And so how much time would you say an individual should, so they should be prepping for about a semester, take it right after graduation. How quickly do they find out if they passed and are now licensed to practice?
Right after they take the exam. So right there at the testing site, they find out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I know that particularly for LCSW, you're licensed by the state in which you're living and practicing in, correct?
Yes.
Do you find, so first of all, what's the, is there a professional organization where individuals could go to learn about licensure requirements by state?
That would be their state board. Most people, it's an easy Google search if they Google licensure requirements from their state. Every state has a board, a social work board, that they can see what those requirements are.
Yeah, this is one thing we talk about. I have an entire lesson in module 5 of my college major and career coaching course where we talk about don't miss this, because if you, let's say you went to school in Pennsylvania, and I'm in your neighboring state of Ohio, although we're in two cities that are about 10 hours apart. If you go to school in Pennsylvania, but you want to move to Ohio after graduation, you really need to be aware by anything that's licensed by the state, what those requirements are going to be to make sure that you'll be able to practice your field, right?
Correct.
Okay. And is it, if people move, let's say, I lived in Pennsylvania, then I moved to Ohio, then my spouse gets transferred to Texas and I want to be an LCSW still down there. How difficult is it to usually, not just those particular states, to get licensed in another state? Is that path fairly easy?
No, I know my profession is working on that now. They're working on a compact similar to what other professions have. Nurses, I believe, have it, a licensing compact, and make it easier at the transfer, but interstate transfers. But every state has their own requirements. So some states are easier than others.
Okay. And that's, I want to just say to all of our listeners, no matter what the field is, if it is a licensed career, do your homework. So any parting words of advice? And we also want to know where people can stay in touch with you if they're interested in this field.
I would say good luck to you and keep an open mind. It's okay to change your mind. That was part of my journey, and things still turned out to be okay. And have fun along the way. College is a time that you will not give back.
That's what I would say.
And keep it short and sweet.
Keep it short and sweet is for sure. You want to get in and out.
Mm-hmm. You can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I have my own podcast as well for social workers. And yeah, actually in all 7 platforms. So if you Google my name, you can find me. That's okay. Yeah.
SHARARUFFIN and social work. Just put that all together and they're going to be able to find you. Well, thank you. This was an enlightening and helpful episode. And I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you to Shara. It's clear that those who thrive in this field have a strong motivation for social service, fitting perfectly within the U.S. Department of Labor's career cluster of community and social service occupations. I'm going to link the show notes to a list of other careers in this job family to get you thinking if you feel like your teen might be a fit for this or similar careers. I also have something special for parents eager to guide their teens in choosing the right college major. I invite you to watch our free on-demand webinar, which offers valuable insights on supporting your teen in this crucial decision. You can find this resource at flourishcoachingco.com/video, and we'll put it in the show notes too. Thank you for joining us today on College and Career Clarity, a Flourish Coaching production. Until next time, keep nurturing and guiding your teen toward a fulfilling career path. And while you're at it, help us nurture other families' college-bound journey by following the podcast and sharing it with a friend. Thank you.